Hey everybody, welcome to the Snapcast. I'm Bobby.
I'm Alex.
I'm Jerry.
And I'm Chris.
So this week we're going to fire it off with some news like always, but as I'm sure everyone who's listening to this knows right now, Eldrazi are real and modern. It's very serious. That's going to be pretty much our entire second segment. We'll be talking about the new Eldrazi deck, what we think it's going to do, the modern meta, what we think Wizards should do, all that fun, exciting stuff. So first, let's fire it off with some talk about regionals. I think most of us, well, let's start with Alex. You were not at regionals. What were you doing Saturday, Alex?
I played a Magic Online preliminary PTQ and then the PTQ final Saturday.
What format was that?
It was modern.
Okay,
so
cool.
It was the same as regionals, just online.
Nice, yeah. So how was that for you? What did you run into? What did you play against?
So on Friday, I played the... It's kind of like a PBTQ, because in the RPTQ Saturday, in less words, and it's easier to say that way. So on the PBTQ, it was 5 rounds. You have to go 4-1 or better. And I played real decks. I beat Tron and Jund. I squeaked out Martyr Proc when I was playing the aggro deck, so I'll take that win.
Yeah.
But like, they were real decks. And then Saturday at the RPTQ, if you will, I played 2 Channel Fireball Eldrazi and just got crushed because that deck's real, and Chalice on one when you're playing like 24 one drops. Yeah.
Bit tough.
And then I also got unlucky and played Boggles and Soul Sisters. So like that was just kind of a bad day.
Yeah. So Friday though, it sounds like that was pretty much a standard modern tournament.
Right. Yeah, it was just, it was diverse, it was everything,
suspects,
and
then
people
yeah.
watched the Pro Tour, got the Channel Fireball deck for the, you know, the next day, and I know the two people I played against that were running it both top 8'd.
Wow, yeah. Yeah, so Chris and I, along with our buddy Ed, who's the local player, we all went down to the Riley, North Carolina? Where mm-hmm. were we? North Carolina. So we went down to that regionals. And Jerry, you went up with Ben up to the Baltimore regionals.
Yes.
It was funny because Eldrazi was present at the North Carolina regionals, but not in huge numbers, right? I mean, Chris, did you see? I know, like, I didn't play it, but I know that there was a copy of it at the top tables that people were watching all day.
I saw it at the top tables, but I didn't encounter it along the way.
Yeah, so, I mean, it looks like there was a few, but it makes sense because paper copies are going to be a little bit harder to find and put together that quickly, so it makes sense that everyone online adjusted to it a lot quicker. Jerry, how about you guys? You played it a ton, right?
Oh, I ran into it out of my 7 rounds I played ad nauseum, 4 rounds I won were all against Eldrazi, and the 3 rounds I lost were against Infect.
Yeah, jeez Louise.
Like, nice modern format.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too much into that deck since we're going to be talking about it plenty in a minute here, but what aside from Eldrazi, did you guys take away anything big from the modern format now?
I saw a high prominence in Merfolk because Spreading Seas is really good against that deck.
Makes sense.
And there were 2 Merfolk decks that top 8'd in Baltimore.
Nice. Man, I'm really impressed how quickly, like, I mean, the Eldrazi deck was already kind of floating around before the Pro Tour. I mean, the Pro Tour, I think we got a nice clean list, but it was already floating around. But my point is that I'm impressed with how fast the modern meta shifted this time. I mean, typically with modern and legacy, it takes quite a while. So, I mean, not only did we see that deck itself, the new Boogeyman, but we also saw a lot of answers to that popping up. I know there's...
Well, on top of it, Twin and Bloom were banned. This is the first thing, with, you know, big thing with that. So,
yeah,
it was like a combination of 2 decks banned, 1 new one that just took over.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, for my day, I did not do so hot. I finished 4-4, but I had a rough out of the gates kind of start. But I pretty much played, like, I played Jund or Junk 4 times in the day. So I saw a lot of that, which I was kind of surprised about. Other than that, saw a pretty good variation of decks. I was sitting next to another Boggles player at one point. I thought it was pretty funny. Lots of that floating around. Relatively lots of that, more than I'm used to seeing. And then, let's see, I'm trying to think of what else I played against. It was pretty much like Burn. Mostly the standard fare. I got to play against the Blue-Black Fairies deck, which is pretty cool. But yeah, that was pretty much my day. Chris, how was your day go?
I didn't do so well with Boggles.
You started hot.
I was 2-0 right out the gate. But then round two, I ran into the Boggles mirror. never seen it before, never tried it before.
The first time that ever happened.
You would think it'd just be very, very straightforward. Even my opponent was like, I don't know how to sideboard to this. I had a game plan going in. I'm like, spell sky plus suppression field equals I win.
Yeah.
So that I was able to squeak it out. But just after that game, because we had boggles and we almost went to time on it. And I was just kind of burned from that alone. Just plus I didn't get a lot of sleep. But then I started playing like the Alex Rando decks. I played Dorian. And after I lost to Dorian, I was just like, I'm done. You know?
Yeah, Alex has a long history of finding all of the weird, oddball, off-the-wall decks at tournaments. So this weekend
every
it was
time.
Chris.
Yeah. Every time.
But I still saw Burn, Affinity. I believe it or not, I didn't play Infect. But I saw a good mix. I just hope that this it stays like that, but I don't think it's going to.
People are going to play with what they have. I've always been saying that. And
Now,
the Eldrazi deck just costs a lot of money. And if you don't have the money to swing for it, you're just going to play with what you have.
Well, the difference, though...
It shot up overnight.
Yeah, seriously. But the difference between the regionals you went to, Jerry, and the one we went to, I thought was crazy, though, because you saw a lot of Eldrazi, which I'm impressed with people getting on it that fast, whereas, yeah, ours was pretty much what you would expect. I think I ran into – I didn't play them, but I was chit-chatting with a few Blue Moon players that had come off of Twin, a Grixis Delver player who had come off of Twin. So, I mean, the meta looked pretty –
For Baltimore, though, it also encompasses people from Philadelphia, West Virginia, D.C., and some of Virginia Beach. So it's a little bit more encompassing of an area versus where Raleigh is.
Yeah, and I'm sure you probably ran into more people we knew. We saw a few people from this area, but not, I mean, because typically for us, we usually go up to Baltimore. We tend to go up north more for events than down south, so we didn't know tons of people there. But, I mean, there's some Star City guys floating around, Tom Ross. There's quite a few. That's all
floating around. Anderson.
Todd Anderson, yeah. The usual suspects down there for that area. Dylan Donegan, yeah. But yeah, so, I mean, for the most part, it was pretty much what you would expect. The tournament seemed fine, I mean, but it seems like we were the oddballs out. I'd be willing to bet that at most regionals there was a lot of Eldrazi decks floating around. Any listeners, we'd love to hear if you want to leave some messages on the Facebook page, just what you experienced at your regional events, if you went to, especially if you went to some of the ones we were not at. We'd love to hear more about that just to see how it's shaping up around the country. But yeah, it looks like the Eldrazi deck is going to make a huge impact. But let's get into some news real quick then. The first thing I got on here, I don't know if you guys are going to be interested in this at all, but they did just announce that the event decks and the clash packs have been discontinued. I haven't heard if they're going to be replacing that with a new, I mean, those products seem to be fine for players getting into the game. I mean, it's been a long time since we've considered picking up anything like that, but.
Well, that's the thing. When it comes to people getting into the game and they want to get serious, they'll go to, you know, people like us or other pros, and they're not going to tell you to buy an event deck. That's just misleading someone because they don't usually have cards in there that you want to be playing. There's a couple cards here and there.
I think they could have, instead of discontinuing, they could have done a better job of it. Like the black-white modern event deck was fine. It was a fine starting point. It had Inquisitions in it, which shot up in price, so you actually like made a little money on those. But like it was fine. It turned into black-white tokens pretty easy, so like I think they just could have done a better job in like other formats other than just, you know, standard stuff.
Yeah, I think the gap between the event deck and not necessarily the modern one, but in general, like the standard event decks, the gap between what was a good playable FNM deck and that deck was really big. I mean, I think that might have been the biggest problem with their product. The clash packs, though, I will say, I've recommended that to people a few times, not if they're trying to play competitively, but just learning the game. Like, if you and a buddy don't know how to play, that's a pretty decent way to get into it. I mean, it's cheap, and you got two easy decks to mash up against each other, but apparently, I guess they weren't doing too hot. I mean, obviously, if they were doing well, they wouldn't have discontinued them. But I'm kind of curious to see if they're going to have any new product that's going to replace these, or if they're just going to go with... Because what else does that leave? I mean, other than just regular loose booster packs. The deck builder's toolkit thing that sucks. Yeah, and then the intro pack, yeah.
The intro packs, I wouldn't say most people are interested in. I mean, they're getting better.
Yeah.
But...
I mean, I think the last good intro pack was Rat's Nest out of Kamigawa because it had Jit in it, and that was about it.
Nice.
Yeah. And I think the last good event deck for Standard was probably the Stoneforge one with the two Stoneforge mystics in it.
Well, you had the Mono Black one when Mono Black Devotion was a thing. It had a lot of the staples.
Yeah, I think it had like Pack Rats and Desecration Demons, something like that.
Did it even have the tap draw card one?
Well, with that, you had to buy three copies of that deck just to get everything you needed for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's always like, that's kind of the idea behind them, is if you want to play how this deck is supposed to look like something, buy multiples of it and you'll have everything.
Yeah, so, I mean, either way, long story short, those are getting the axe, they're out of here. If you liked them, sorry, you're at the right to Wizards, even though I think that their inbox with hate mail is going to be pretty full right now, so they may not get to it right away. But, all right, so going down this list, the new set name was announced, Eldritch Moon?
Eldritch Moon, yes, that's Eldritch how it's Moon? Pronounced.
All right.
For you D&D fans, Eldritch Blast. Psh.
All right. but yeah, so I mean, we've got Liliana showing up in the art. I think we all kind of thought she was going to show up in Shadows Over Innistrad already anyway, so that's not a huge surprise. Was there anything else included with this, or was it basically just the name and the art? That's all I saw.
And it was like the card number, like how many cards in the set, but I forgot to look at what it was.
Gotcha. So, I mean, basic information. Obviously, we still have Shadows to come out, so.
So, I'm taking a shot in the dark here. And, okay. I just did a search in cardkingdom.com, and I looked up and see if there was creature type Warlock. I think we're going to see creature type Warlock in this new set. Calling it like I see it.
Okay.
Fair enough.
Right. Not in Shadows and Eldritch?
In Eldritch, yes.
Okay.
Because the whole Eldritch Blast reference comes from Warlocks. We don't have them yet. I think I'd like to see them. It'd be kind
of
cool.
D&D is also a Wizards of the Coast product, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, cool. So, yeah, like, so they could just blatantly use that, and it's not an issue, really.
Like original alpha cards are almost all based off of D&D spells.
Nice. Well, there you go. Maybe we'll see Warlocks. That'd be pretty intense. I could dig it. That's all I really got on that. Do you guys have any other thoughts on Eldritch Moon? I mean, it's still a little ways out, but that's a cool name, I guess. It's kind of cool.
Well, Alex had brought up, you know, it has Liliana on the front.
Yeah.
So is there a possibility we see a reprint for an extremely expensive modern card?
Lily of the Veil?
Everybody wants it. I don't think so.
I mean, we're more likely to see Liliana Vest because she works with the Madness mechanic super well. So we're more likely to see that.
That's true. I mean,
I think it'll be a new Liliana, like a new abilities.
Yeah,
that's what I'm hoping for too.
That'd be pretty dope. I'm kind of like, I would either want Lily of the Veil or new Liliana. I mean, I think most people probably agree. Yeah, this has been kind of rough since Veil, so we'll see what happens. So now we already have some new leaks from the new set, because none of these are official spoilers, right? We haven't had any official.
There's one official spoiler because it's in one of the event decks.
Okay.
That was like a Mindbreaker demon.
It's a
4-mana 4/4 flyer, or 4/5 flyer. And then it has, when it comes into play, put 4 into your graveyard. And then on your upkeep, you lose 4 life unless you have 4 types, or 4 different types, like the Delirium mechanic.
Yeah. Okay. Nice. That's pretty interesting. But yeah, so that's kind of the biggest thing from these leaks, is that we have gotten a look at some of the, some returning mechanics, some new mechanics. Alex, did you want to run through these?
So we have Delirium, which I was just kind of talking about. It's, you get an effect if you have 4 or more different types of cards in your graveyard. Kind of the Goyf ability, if you will.
Yeah, so it's pretty much used similar to... I'm blanking on the one we just had recently. But it's all the cards do something, and then if there's 4 or more types, it does something else, right?
Like Spellmastery?
Right.
Spellmastery, that's exactly what I was thinking of.
Okay. Yeah, so it's along those lines. And then Madness is coming back, which has already sparked a price increase of Jace, Vryn's Prodigy, because you can really do really dumb things with that. Like, a comment, because like one of the spoiled was Fiery Temper, which is a reprint. I think it's like the third time this card's been reprinted.
Yeah, but
it has Madness cost of 1 red, and it's a Lightning Bolt if you discard it. So you can just activate Jace, draw a card, discard Lightning Bolt, and use it. Like, that's pretty insane.
Actually, it's not even a Madness of red, it's Madness of 0.
I thought it was red, but nope. I could be wrong.
Madness of 0. It just activates right off the spot. It's my problem with the Madness mechanic is that they've already done 2 super obvious reprints for it with Lightning Axe and Fiery Temper. And I'm like, I guess these are all right. They're great ways to lean people into it, but I think they could do better than just doing obvious reprints.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be more, so...
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see what comes of the set. But yeah, I mean, I can see where Jerry's coming from. I mean, so far they're pretty much just reusing what's already been there, but they could set up for some pretty... I mean, this is a mechanic where they got to be pretty careful with. I mean, because you could do some broken stuff on accident with this real easily.
And they had in the past with, what was it, Basking Rootwalla or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Rootwalla got banned.
Rootwalla, yeah.
Banned the Rootwalla. But all right, and what was the last one, Alex?
And then we have Investigate, which is when you... cast a card and has investigate, you get a clue token, which is a token that sits in play, and you can pay two and sack the token and draw a card.
Yeah, this one I think is super interesting. Like, one, I mean, from a flavor standpoint, it's interesting, I guess, but it... All right, it feels dumb to me. Like, I like the mechanic, and I'm excited to try it out, and I love drawing cards, so I'm all in there. But just this whole clue token thing coming from investigation, it feels silly.
It feels like,
well, that's what, like, Cthulhu and stuff was. Yeah. Like, it's investigation into it. So it makes sense from that kind of aspect.
Yeah, no, like I said, flavor-wise, it totally makes sense, and it's cool flavor-wise, but just something about it just feels very lame to me.
But as lame and silly as it is, it's really good in your mid-range and control strategies because it rewards you for, say you just don't use your mana because your opponent does nothing on their turn.
Yeah.
This gives you something to do with it.
Yeah, mechanically, I love it. Like I said, I love it. Leaving around something that I can pay to and draw a
card, it was spoiled on. The white card, it's like one in a white... tap two creatures and get a clue token. Like, that's just sweet for control.
Yep, it's called Expose Evil. And foils of this are going to look ridiculous.
Because, yeah, I mean, it's pretty much a delayed cantrip. I mean, there's the 2 mana cost also associated with it. But, I mean, control is the first, like, obvious thing that comes to mind when you see this card. And they have 2 mana free up all the time. So that'll slot right in. So, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited to see what we get printed with this mechanic. And I don't want to sound like I'm down on the mechanic. I think the mechanic sounds great. It's just something about it. It's just me personally. It feels lame.
Something to note on all the leaks that I'm seeing right now. These are all super playable, like, draft picks. Like, none of these are bad at all.
They're all common or uncommon, right?
Yes, these are all the commons and uncommons that have been pretty much leaked. And they are all, like, these are almost, like, not all of them are guaranteed pack one pick ones. But these are, like,
pretty high
up on your pick list.
Yeah. Like, the green creature is insane.
Which one? They're all insane.
Well, the green creature that's like a 2/2 for 2. You can pay 3. Look at the top. However many put a creature in hand.
Yep.
Then it's a werewolf, so it flips, and then your creatures cost 1 less on the flip side. Like, ugh.
Yeah, that's insane. And the, what is it? Then there's the whole Pact Guardian, the 4/3 flasher for 4, uncommon. When it enters the battlefield, you could discard a land to get a wolf out of it. I'm like, this is almost a slightly more interesting version of Huntmaster. And Huntmaster was a mythic.
How about the other thing to focus on is we had judges banned for a little bit.
That's what I was about to bring up.
Brought back in.
Yeah.
And immediately in the next set, there's leaks again.
The thing that's interesting with the judge leaks is that they get access to cards early so that way they can study up on them, understand the mechanics. And it seems weird to think this is a coincidence that most of the ones that we're seeing leaked have new or returning mechanics on them.
Well, of what I've heard is the judges, even though they were unbanned, they are still super salty about the way they went about it, of banning those people.
Yeah, but another thing is, like, because in the leak, you know, I saw it on Reddit, so in there it had more pictures, and one of the pictures was of a pack. So it's not like, you know, it's just like Wizards sent these pictures to the judges to say, here, look at the new mechanics or something. This is somebody got a hold of a pack somehow. But then they didn't show the rare.
Yeah, that's crazy. So, like, the pack thing makes it even more interesting. I don't know. But the inclusion of it, I don't think this is... Chris is going deep here with this retaliation plot line that we got developing. But seeing the mechanics to me, though, did bring the judges to mind again, because it would make sense why they would have these specific cards early. But that's all, you know, fun speculation. Who knows? But, hey, we got some more spoilers. But like you said, it is interesting if they got packs that are not showing rares, because I did think that was kind of cool in a sense. Like, I'm glad we're not seeing the big, cool mythics and rares. Like, that really did kind of bum me out.
If somebody spoiled Liliana now, I'd just be pissed.
Yeah, exactly. I want to wait. I want to enjoy it. Like, I want to sit around and complain about Eldrazi right now. I don't want to be ruining the next set already. We've got plenty to talk about.
I mean, I think this brings up a bigger picture where I think Wizards just needs to control their own spoilers. Like, there's just too many people who like to leak too much. Well, and
that's what they were trying to do from the last leak. They said, we're going to tell you when spoiler season is. We're going to start it and all that. But, like, they still have to send these things out to judges and stuff. But, like I said, because there was a picture of a pack, I don't think this was a judge. I think, I don't know how, somebody got hold of a pack, basically.
Yeah, I mean, little leaks like this, I think, are fine. And I mean, like, I know that they said they were going to stop their sort of like, oops, accidental leak kind of thing. But that's kind of what this feels like. And it's going to stir up excitement. It's not going to have a big detrimental effect. So, I mean, this is nowhere near as serious as the last set of leaks that we had. But yeah, I'm sure everybody at Wizards right now is trying to figure out. I mean, they've got a lot on their plate right now with things they need to work out. But
I mean, they said from the right after they got done unbanning from the Giga, they're like, we're never going to send out accidental leaks.
Yeah,
you know, that's not our jam. And I don't know. I just look at like the back-to-back leaks. Wizards is going to have to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely alarming. So I'm sure they'll be taking a look into it. We'll see what comes out of it.
I'm pretty sure you're like the Wizards building. Just people are in it, just like running around flailing their arms at this point. Like, oh my God, so many things are
everything's
happening.
What
do
fire.
We do?
Yeah. Everything is on fire at Wizards of the Coast.
Fire
right now.
Sale. Fire sale.
Yeah. So yeah, it's hard to say how high on their priority list this is right now with these leaks. These leakers may get off easy this time around. But in all of this, we haven't mentioned yet, the Pro Tour was this past weekend. I mean, we've kind of touched on it a little bit. But yeah, I mean, the Pro Tour, other than the huge Eldrazi in the room, did you guys see anything that you're excited about that you weren't excited about? Thoughts on the Pro Tour?
Someone was running Possibility Storm combo.
Let's move on.
But someone, I just wanted to point it out, someone was running it, I thought it was hilarious.
That is hilarious. Was it a pro or was it just like a...
It's a guy who just made the Pro Tour. I'm like, why would you use your one invite to the Pro Tour and you'd run this jank? But he was doing all right day one. So
probably, he's probably a Twitch player that was just lost.
Well, one of the guys I watch on Twitch, he brewed a Possibility Storm deck. And I mean, it's viable. I mean, especially when you don't have the police anymore.
When you don't have the police.
I mean, it's amazing what you can do now. So he's been running it for a while, and I like it.
I mean, you do you. I love combos, but
we saw Blue Moon. We saw a couple copies of Blue Moon.
One got ninth, right? Am I right on that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, I think that's the guy thinking two steps ahead. I mean, it was pretty clear that Eldrazi was going to be a big deal at this one, so Blue Moon seems like a natural pick to combat that, and I mean, it's cool. I'm glad to see it at the Pro Tour.
And then there was the Grixis Shadow Zoo.
Yeah, it was like Suicide
Death
Zoo,
Shadow.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm just a fan of it because that is an all-in. Like, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to die shortly
after.
Yeah,
let's see if I get there or if I just killed myself.
Nah, man, Death Shadow spiked
in price because
of that. I
mean, when
the
deck on the other side of the table is also trying to kill you really quick, they're just helping you. Like, it was pretty much like, did I get Death Shadow? Check. Did I get Timur Battle Rage? Can't lose. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty spicy deck. It's interesting, I guess. It's not my jam at all.
I like it. It's funny.
I mean, because the police aren't around to stop it. It's another deck that can thrive.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time now. If you have any crazy ideas, to try them out, for sure. We saw quite a bit of that at Regional, so I don't blame anybody.
I found Dorian, of all things.
I kind of wish that I
played
that
Dorian
Enchantress deck.
Now, unfortunately, but at least you didn't find Xur.
Yeah.
Let's find Xur and let's hit ourselves some Corsair Crufix while we're at it.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts, non-Eldrazi thoughts on the Pro Tour?
I was surprised Infect didn't make it in.
Yeah.
Wasn't surprised that Affinity squeaked in.
Because I can give you a kind of insight on Infect. A lot of people in Infect that were playing it still haven't quite adjusted. Like, they're still running Apostle's Blessing and a World of Colorless cards, and
that's
not what you're supposed to be doing. Like, they're still on the, well, what do we do now? And my thought on was like, well, shouldn't you be playing four Ranger's Guiles instead of four Apostle's Blessings to get your Hexproof, and then go back into the full Distortion Strike with Slit Through Space package to get through the Eldrazi?
Well, I mean, you're going to run Vines to get your Hexproof stuff, but I think they need to go to Distortion Strike or Slip Through Space.
Yeah, we saw One of the Infect players I played against was running Slip Through Space. We saw plenty of Infect players who are still on the old packages as well. So, I mean, that's the time period that we're in right now. Some people are going to adjust. I think it seems like most players had the idea of either, one, I'm going to adjust. I'm going to plan for this Eldrazi deck. I'm going to plan for this new meta. Or I'm just not going to do it at all. I mean, it seems like people are all in or not at all. Which, I mean, both make perfect sense. Like, you can try to game plan for what you think is going to happen, or you can just say, whatever, I'm going to do what I've been doing and see how it goes. So we saw that definitely in full swing. But yeah, I mean, Infect at the Pro Tour, what are you going to do? I mean, they had, like Jerry said, they have a bunch of new colorless spells to worry about, lots of new creatures to try to bash through. So it makes sense that may have been a big wall in their way during the Pro Tour. Affinity.
Yeah, I mean, the Modern right now is just like the Wild West, man. Like, the police are gone, and there's, like, a new sheriff in town, but nobody likes him. Yeah. Like, oh, it's just miserable.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's a great analogy. I mean, that's pretty much exactly what's going on. But all right, let's get out of this segment. Let's take a quick break, and then let's talk about what we've been itching to talk about this whole time, and I'm sure what everybody is fast-forwarding towards anyway. All right, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back, everybody, to segment two. So we're talking about
Eldrazi Boogaloo. You got to say that. It's such a sweet name.
Welcome back to segment two, Eldrazi Boogaloo. Anyway, nah, I was pretty proud of myself on that one. But all right.
Yeah, now it's solid.
So really what we're looking at in this segment is, I figure we'll start with the origin, I guess, which would be the Pro Tour. Well, you know what I mean. The origin of this new cleaned up version of the list. So did you guys get to see it at all on camera during the Pro Tour?
Yeah, I watched it.
Yep, and, watched parts of it.
Cringed
yes.
The whole time.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's pretty much most people's reaction. I mean, I only got to catch a little bit of it, but every time I pulled it up, it looked like it was pretty much throttling whatever it was playing against.
Yeah.
Yep, and it didn't even matter which version of the Eldrazi yes. deck was being played, because there were multiples. It was just going ham on everything.
Yeah, I think that was kind of one of the scariest things that we saw about this is, like, while, I mean, do you guys think, I like the Channel Fireball list the most. I think that's pretty much the consensus for people.
Was that the blue-red?
Well, the blue-red beats the Channel Fireball version, so it's kind of like a level up. What level do you want to be on?
Yeah.
Do you want to be good against other decks or get against Channel Fireball? Yeah,
one version goes big, the other version goes wide.
But didn't the colorless version end up winning in the end?
No, it was blue-red.
It was blue-red.
Yeah, it was someone gaming specifically for the Pro Tour.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, the one thing, I guess, the asterisk to put on all this before we get too far into it is to remember that the Pro Tour is a very unique meta, I guess would be the best way to put it. I mean, you're pretty much thinking, what are the other pros going to do? So you're going to see less diversity than you would at a typical large modern event. You're going to see people kind of understanding the tendencies of the other players and gaming for what they're doing. And I mean, these two versions of this Eldrazi deck are a great example of that. But like you guys have said so far, I mean, this deck, there's two forms of it and they both just dominated, right?
Yes. They were just...
Well, there's three versions in top eight.
Oh, wow, were there really? What was the third version?
The blue-black version.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah, so we've got three versions of an Eldrazi deck, but they're all doing fine at the Pro Tour. I mean, that's
scary
thought.
Just looking at the numbers, day one, it was 8% of the meta, and it was 75% of the top eight. Like, ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, it had pretty good showing at the beginning of the Pro Tour. I mean, 9% is pretty solid. I don't know how that stacks up to decks typically. I mean, it's not a huge chunk of the meta, so...
Well, in comparison, you know, Splinter Twin got banned because it was meta-controlling at 11%, so that right. does actually mean
so,
a lot.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a pretty high number, but 9%, though, I guess the point I was trying to make is 9%, like, there were plenty of other decks that entered this tournament. But it knocked them out. It dominated them. It moved on above them. You know what I mean? So it's not, if it were like 50% out of the first day, then it would make sense why there were so many in the top eight. But this is more of a case where only 9% of the meta day one was made up of this deck. And then, yeah, like Alex said, at the end of the day, it made up 75% of the top eight. So it was a lot of highly skilled people playing the deck. I don't want to leave that out because that's definitely a variable. But I mean, It put up a very dominant showing. What were you saying a second ago, Alex, about Callblade? Its first tournament?
LSV compared it to playing Callblade back in the day.
Yeah, but what didn't this even outperform Callblade at its first big tournament?
Oh yeah, the first big tournament that Callblade was legal, it was only 4 of 8 in the top 8.
Yeah, and that at the time was a pretty big deal. And I mean, that is a big deal, but now we're seeing 6 out of 8.
And the card pool is so much larger in Modern compared to Standard, so this got to be something done here.
Yeah.
Just to give you an idea, I went to MTG Top 8 and said last 2 weeks.
Yep.
And okay. It's only been a real viable one for the last week. 17% of the meta.
Is Eldrazi
aggro.
So, I mean, most of those numbers, because of the way MTGA Top 8 works, most of those numbers are going to pull from MTGO, which this makes perfect sense with what Alex experienced on Saturday. But a deck has to be very, very undisputably good to see this type of huge swing this quickly. And, I mean, we mentioned it in the first segment, but there was... The Eldrazi deck was already sort of coming together before this weekend. People have been talking about it. We've seen quite a few versions of it. I know Alex was brewing a version of it for a while. So, I mean, it's not like it came completely out of nowhere, but this is still fast. I mean, this is a format we're not used to seeing move this quickly, and for this deck to take up this much is definitely concerning. So, I mean, but before we go too much more on it, what else did you see of it from the Pro Tour, though? I mean, does that sum it up, or did you notice anything other than... just the fact that it was large and in charge?
It's a deck that was able to operate as if it was a true five-color deck, and it just being colorless. It had, with Thought Not Seer, it has its own black effect. Its large creatures act like green creatures. It has, it has ways to just affect other people's ability to play magic in, like, Chalice of the Void. Plays like a permanent, blue answer to everything that you do. So it's a colorless deck playing a five-color game.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's... let's go ahead and go into this next bullet point here, because I think that this is a good time to transition into this. Do you think that, and this is for all of you guys, do you think that this was caused by the twin ban, or do you think that this is just a case where these cards were that powerful and this would have happened regardless of twin?
I think it was
these cards are just that powerful.
Because in Twin, like, Remand is just garbage against this deck, because with the on cast effects, Remand does nothing. And you're trying to, with Twin, you're trying to race Eldrazi, and you can't target Reality Smasher with Exarch without discarding cards. So you're falling behind even further.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's... It. Obviously, being at regionals was a good place to be, to hear about this deck at the Pro Tour, to hear about it dominating, because I got to hear a lot of chatter from tons of different fans walking around, hanging out, and fans of Magic, not fans of us. We're not quite there yet, but Magic players in general, and it really, like, a lot of people seem to be on this idea that the twin banning was a big cause of this. And at first, I think I was kind of like, okay, yeah, I mean, it kind of makes sense. But the more and more, like, on the car ride home, and more we talked about it, and the more and more I really thought about it, I kind of came to that same conclusion of what Jerry was talking about, where I think that this was just a printing error. I think this was just a power level error. I think this just comes from the fact that they don't play test Modern when they print these new cards.
And I
talked about it before, too, but, like, Ayavugan and Temple were originally designed so you could play these big Eldrazi at a cheaper rate and to make it to where you could actually play them. Because the original Eldrazi were, like, 8 drop or higher you wanted to play. So to make them, like, power level comparable to playable, they made these cards. But now they're making 4 drops, 2 drops, and that's where they messed up, is making the cheap Eldrazi.
Yeah, I mean, it really does fall into the line that they say that they don't test for Modern, because it shouldn't have taken much effort to see, here's Eldrazi Temple, here's, a pretty aggressively, like, costed Eldrazi, right? Priced Eldrazi. I mean, the ones for 4 and 5, they're not a bad value at those mana costs. So then when you start knocking 2 off of the casting cost, or you start being able to tap for 2 to cast them, it gets broken pretty quickly. I mean,
did they just not look at Eldrazi Mimic and then see Ayavugan? Like, this seems so obvious to anyone. I mean, I made the joke a week ago, and it actually happened to me. I got killed turn 3 by turn 1, 2 Mimics.
Yeah. You know,
this is a thing now. This is a thing that shouldn't happen. 2 mana Eldrazi? That takes away from what the Eldrazi were about.
And multiple times on the Pro Tour, on turn 1, the Eldrazi decks are putting, 3 to 5 mana worth of creatures into play, because of things like Ive Ugin and Gemstone Cavern, you know, cheating a land into play on a turn early and stuff like that, or, you know, Simeon Spirit Guide, these other fast mana effects, to where other decks spend, you know, other than like Affinity, they spend one mana on turn one, and, you know, they're just getting outclassed just immediately.
I mean, this deck is very comparable to Vintage, Workshop, and Modern. Like, the lands are, you're restricted to a deck type, which isn't even much of a restriction considering that these cards are so abundantly powerful.
Yeah.
That it's created its own workshop list. I mean, we were even playing Chalice of the Void in it now. Chalice was hardly played in Modern up until this deck came out, because now it can just jam it out as quickly as possible. Like, that's what they're trying to do. So
yeah, and I mean, and Chalice is a great card in this deck because, yeah, you can put it on one. They're not running one drops because they're one drops or three drops. You know, like, it's just, yeah, they're abusing these high mana costing creatures, so there's no real cost to play these Chalices, and they come out fast. I mean, yeah, the deck, I think most people are in agreement that this deck is very real. I mean, you'd be crazy to disagree with that right now. The deck is, it's a problem, to be honest. I don't know what the solution is. So, transitioning into that, for each of you, and we'll start with Alex, and I kind of want to get each of your opinions one at a time on this. Do you think that this is something, like, what would you say the solution to this problem is? Is it a banning? Is it an unbanning of Twin? Is it just letting the meta work itself out? I mean, like I said, Alex, what do you think?
So, unbanning Twin's not good enough for the same reason I just talked about with I being able to cast, you know, 3 to 5 mana worth of stuff on turn one. Twin is the control deck, and it can't do that. On turn one, it might Serum Visions, and then it just can't do anything. So, like, unbanning Twin's not enough. Eye of Ugin has to go because it's a workshop effect and just doesn't need to be there. That's basically what it comes down to. I think part of this, too, is design error on Wizards in the C mana, the colorless mana, because when they're looking at, like, limited and standard, it's kind of hard to get C mana, especially in, like, draft and things like that. So I think they made these creatures have effects that should be costed higher, but they're like, oh, we'll put a C mana on there, and that takes, like, 2 generic mana off because it's going to be hard to do. I think that's where the biggest mistake came from.
That's a pretty good point. I mean, it's designing in a bubble for standard can lead to these, you know, these obvious problems. Yeah, where, like you said, we're in a standard environment, this is going to be a restriction that's going to slow people down. Whereas in modern, I mean, you've got so many great options, really. I mean, they're running running Mutavault and stuff too now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, you've got tons of options for colorless that also get you all kinds of other effects. So, that's a great look on that. What about you, Jerry?
So I'm kind of on a combination of banning and unbanning to kind of help this mitigate this. The ban I would see is Thought Not Seer. I'm not a complete fan of killing archetypes, but if you ban Thought Not Seer, it takes away the deck's built-in Thoughtseize Tarmogoyf in one card on turn two. The last time we had a 4/4 for 2 mana that was played was back in Cold Snap with Jotungrunt, and that had serious downside. This card is nothing but pure upside. Even the little abilities that are attached to it, like I learned that when it dies, because I played a Damnation, but I had a Leyline, it targets a player. So I didn't even get to draw the card when it died. Like, it has all these little extra little effects that they just pushed that much harder. And I think we need to take away its ability to be able to interact on a black level in colorless. So if you take that away, it kind of fixes it. As for unbannings, like unbanning Twin, you might as well, because the deck already, it's already faster than it, and it interacts with Twin combo with Warping Whale at the best level possible. Warping Whale kills all Twin targets. So, and it just doesn't kill them, it exiles them. So nice Kolaghan's Command. See you later, rookie. You know.
Yeah.
If we're going to keep a shop deck in Modern, say we don't ban a land, I'm all for, we need to have Stormback at this point, because you're playing Chalice of the Void on turn one for one, which pretty much hoses Storm because they can't cantrip their way through their deck. So I think a Seething Song unban would be reasonable if we're going to keep a workshop deck in the format.
That's actually, I mean, I like the juxtaposition looking at what this deck would do versus decks that are banned for being too powerful, because, yeah, like you said, I mean, I don't even know if any of those decks would make a dent on this Eldrazi deck. I mean, a lot of it's kind of depending on a Chalice on Void right out of the gate, and obviously there's only four copies in the deck, so there's lots of matches where that's not going to come up. But yeah, I mean, it stacks up against a lot of powerful offenders. Chris, what do you think? What's your strategy here?
Well, I said it from the beginning. Thoughtseize is a powerful card, and now we have Thoughtseize on a stick with a substantial body behind it at... I'm not losing life. It's the casting cost is comparable to just a vanilla creature. But for that same vanilla cost, you get to rip a card. Yeah, they get to draw one when it finally dies, but what if they don't get there? I don't even know if Thought Not Seer will do it, because if we keep the workshop lands, we can still mimic, and then just play a Reality Smasher or something of that nature, an Oblivion, so just... something ridiculous at a cheap cost that we still just get blown out. I mean, it's an aggro deck. Aggro decks are supposed to be fragile to life gain or just small interactions, and this one is not. This one can continuously hammer out answers, and it's like a big toolbox deck, but can go off very quickly. And how do you interact with that? You have... all the choices in the world, super powerful, except you get to play it like you would burn. All right, well, I'm gonna put a couple creatures out and hope to draw three or four others, just anything, and just win.
Yeah, I mean, those are all solid points. Yeah, I mean, it puts Wizards in a really weird place, and because I think that, I mean, I have to agree that the most obvious solution here is to ban one of the lands. But like Jerry said, I mean, that's going to do a number on the archetype. And I mean, if you ban Eye of Ugin, you're doing a number on Tron as well. So you're really hitting a lot of decks.
A-OK.
Chris is fine with Tron kicking rocks. Yeah. But just from a perspective, though, where we're already, I mean, Birthing Pod already got nailed. Splinter Twin just got nailed. Amulet just got nailed. I mean, like, can we really keep playing this game? And I mean, I think it's just really unfortunate timing for Wizards that not only did they get heavy-handed with bannings, they also printed some cards that are not going to be... they can't stay in Modern. You know what I mean? Like, this can't be good. So, I mean, I'm on one hand, I'm interested to see what the meta does. I mean, I just feel like a ban is such a bad taste in the mouth for Wizards right now. I mean,
like, I think
it has to be done.
The like, better answer is to unban. Yes.
Something's got
to
go.
If they're going to cheat, we need to let everyone else cheat.
Well, but I mean, and Jerry mentioned the unbannings, and I mean, like, I think it makes an interesting point, but I don't think it's viable. You know what
no,
I mean?
No, it probably isn't.
And it really doesn't really... Yeah. No, I think, like I said, I think it raised some interesting points, but yeah, you just can't, because, I mean, if the Eldrazi's deck is this powerful that all those things can come back, that's got to be a huge red flag in itself. And, I mean, we've all seen it in camera. We've seen it in person now, and if you're one of the modern players out there who hasn't played against this deck or had to deal with this yet, then, like, congratulations, but... it's sweeping the nation in a really bad way. And I mean, yeah, it the world, really. So, man, is that really it?
I want to say that, like, I agree with Jerry to an extent. Like, I don't agree in destroying an archetype, which is why I think I can go. Because they still get Eldrazi Temple. They can still play these things quick, but they have to tap it. And that's the biggest thing. Like, if they play a turn one Eldrazi Mimic, that's fine. But when they're playing turn one, two, or three Eldrazi Mimics, or that's when it's a problem. When they're getting these extra mana out of a card like that, that's what the problem is.
I mean, I'm still waiting for this person to go turn one, I, mimic, endless one, go. Like Eldrazi Storm.
Yeah. Eldrazi Storm. No, I agree there. I think if one's going to go, it should be Eye of Ugin. I mean, that's where... I mean... you can't expect any modern deck to be able to deal with that much value on turn one. On any turn, really, exactly. To just start popping creatures out like that. You really just can't expect anything to deal with it. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like it just needs to go, right?
And well,
I mean, the comparison here is, like, to Affinity, because Affinity is the only other deck in the format that gets a lot of value on turn one. but their value is in the form of 1/1s or 0/2s and things like that. That's their value. They're just playing a lot of them.
But there's
to, you
so
know,
much
use a cranial plating to win.
Them.
But this is playing real creatures.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, and like Chris just started to say, there's a lot of printed hate. Yeah, everybody's fine with Affinity. And yeah, like, I mean, that's Alex's point, is that these creatures are so much better than what Affinity's doing. They're so much, I mean, they're a higher class level and they're doing it almost exactly the same. I mean, it's not quite as easy for them to empty their hand as Affinity, but it's not much harder.
I mean, I did just mention, hey, turn one, here's all 7 cards. Let's play some magic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it just...
The sad thing is, if you ban Eye, it's almost going to cripple Tron, because it takes away Tron's late-game inevitability of being able to tutor up answers, because that was half of
Tron's
plan.
Yeah, but that's
plan.
Fine. Like, they just always have turn 3 Karn, so I'm fine with that. Like,
how did you always
they
have
can
turn
have their
three
turn 3 Karn, they don't get their turn 18 Ugin. You know, I'm fine with that.
But that was always Tron's... Like, that was always the appeal, is that it could have that, both of them, which I was even... You know, as much as I hate the deck, I mean, I was fine with it. It's Tron, it's whatever. But now it takes away incentive to continue playing it. Like, you ban Eye, the
well,
deck
I mean,
has no late
I don't
game.
Like the deck either, but the sad fact is Tron's the closest thing to a control deck in Modern right now. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, so I think... So you seem to either have to ban Eye or just the entire new set and just ban Oath of the Gatewatch from Modern. I mean, like, those seem to be... Because, yeah, I mean, like you guys said, I mean, I don't think Eldrazi Temple is going to do it. Like...
And what's even worse is I've been trying these creatures in Legacy. It's just as bad there. It's absolutely insane, because now we have access
like
to...
Like I said, it was a design flaw by Wizards. They made these things too aggressively costed because they thought colorless would be a hindrance. It's kind of like it Delph is a prime example of where they thought, you know, making an 8-drop that draws 3 cards, it's an 8-drop that draws 3 cards. It's not going to get played fast enough. And Treasure Cruise got banned to me like very quickly too. It's the same concept.
Yep.
They made something too aggressively costed because they thought there was a drawback that it's not.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the biggest takeaway from that is that Wizards really, they need to test for Modern. Legacy, sure. Like, they don't really seem to support the format at all anyway. But Modern, this is their new, I mean, Modern tournaments do so insanely well. There's so much pull to them. They outperform Standard pretty frequently as far as attendance, so it's time to just start testing for Modern. I mean, there's no way around it. Like, this
and
has happened
even
so
doing
frequently.
The World
lately.
Magic Cup is going to be Modern this year.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, Invitationals. I mean, I know that's Star City Games, but that's still just showing how much Modern is becoming prevalent. And yeah, I mean, it's just they have to test for it. There's no way around it. And I mean, I understand that it's a large card pool, but I think that the Delve that we've seen recently with Treasure Cruise and this Eldrazi incident were both ones that should have been... Like, if pros can figure it out this quickly for the Pro Tour and this many pros showed up with this deck, Wizards should have a staff that can figure these things out too just as quickly, right? I mean, is that too much to ask? I don't think so.
And it's not even like... Like, this deck is so simple, anybody can just pick it up. Like, BBD wrote an article about how he didn't do well at the Pro Tour. He went to a regionals, scrambled the deck together like on the way to regionals, went to regionals and went 7-0 in rounds. It felt like he couldn't lose.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
the deck's
not
knocking
BBD, he's a great player, but like the fact that you can just pick up this deck and just can't lose, like, come on.
Yeah, no, I mean, the deck, I haven't had hands-on time with it, but just looking at it, I mean, again, like you said, I don't want to downplay, you know, the skill of any of the pros, but... You know it's a very powerful deck, and that's a good sign of a powerful deck when you could give it to most Magic players, and I think they would do pretty well with it. Maybe not quite 7-0, but I've got a feeling we could pick just about anyone who's competent at Modern, and they would have a pretty good day with it, especially now with the meta so wide open. So yeah, I mean, I want to see the meta adjust to this, but I just... we've talked about it a lot, and we haven't been able to come up with a whole lot.
What do you do if you're the meta?
Yeah,
to shut
I mean,
this
that's,
down?
There were a couple of things that did pop up. I'd like to discuss those, if that's possible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a good time.
The first one is, so Ben played Lantern Control, and he went, if I'm not mistaken, was 3-0 against the Eldrazi lists. The only problem that Lantern really has in dealing with it is the turn one Chalice. So if you go deep in the 4 Abrupt Decay plan, you can run very successfully. I mean, you have your Ensnaring Bridge, which the deck can't interact with. And once your hand's out, your hand is out. And with the new addition of Seagate Wreckage, you can now draw additional cards at a quicker pace to get more cards out on the field. So Lantern Control and had I agree pretty with good that, interaction.
But here's a counterpoint to that. So the way to beat Eldrazi decks, for the most part, is Ensnaring Bridge. So what does that do to the rest of Magic? So now matchup is either Eldrazi on Eldrazi, or you're trying to beat Ensnaring Bridge. It just makes so many non-games that that's not good for the format either.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I'm not taking away from that. I mean, that just says ban, please. But this is what the format's doing, and I think it needs to be mentioned.
Yeah, so I mean, there was that, and then we also, there's Painter's Servant has popped up as a way to kind of slow
down.
But
that card's just bad.
Right, I mean.
I mean, look what we're resorting to playing to answer the deck, though.
I think that that's the biggest tell, is that this is what we've come up with, you know, a few days of thinking about what the meta can do to adjust. And, I mean, obviously, like, Blood Moon is a fairly viable option, but, like, Alex just made a point a second ago, like, you have to dig into some pretty busted aspects of Magic in order to fight this thing.
I mean, Fish is on Spreading Seas and Convincing Mirage again. Like, Convincing Mirage was only played in a standard set where you could cascade into it, and now they're playing it just to get more islands on the battlefield.
And really, we say Blood Moon. Is it fast enough?
Yeah, I don't. It's hard.
I don't think it is unless you're on the Simeon Spirit Guide Ritual. You know, yeah, slam the moon.
That
and then,
red white kind of prison deck. Yeah,
and then we're going to see how long it takes me to draw to natural. Like, that's not a good plan.
Well, even Painter Servant, that's what we were talking about too. Even Painter Servant, if it's not turn two servant, like,
yeah,
you might as well not even try that either.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the point here is, like, this is a deck that's abusing lands that doesn't even, like, it's too fast for Blood Moon. What? Yeah. Like, what in the world? Like, I didn't think I'd see the day. So, I mean, it's tough. I don't think that there's much the meta can do. And I'm a big proponent of that. Like, that's usually my answer is, let's see what the meta does. And I've got a pretty big feeling they're not going to do much. Like, no. There's really
well,
not
yeah, they're
going to
play
around.
The deck.
There was
right, yeah.
There was one deck that did pop up quite a bit at my regional. It didn't top 8, sadly, and I think it requires work. But obviously, if we're working to try to beat Eldrazi, and that's its only real good matchup, we have a problem. It was a Crack the Earth Mardu. Crack the Earth is a sorcery from Kamigawa that costs one mana in red color. Each player sacrifices a permanent. So the two versions I'd seen with it are just Mardu value, where you just outland them and you can sacrifice your flagstones of Trocares and such. And the other version I saw was a Agrilome package where they were on smallpoxes as well. And they were pushing just blow up your lands over and over again. And I'm playing 42 of them.
Yeah, but that's the thing, though, too. Like, that's a strategy, but, like, even then, I think that doesn't work because they have so much on turn one they can do.
Oh,
just
of course.
Between, you know, they can cast, like, two mimics, and if you say, oh, well, each sack, a permanent, well, now you're down a land, they're down a mimic, they still have an eye and a mimic. Like,
I mean,
it's just not enough.
As sweet as the deck list looked with Crack the Earth, because looking at it, I'm like, I wished I could have played this in previous modern formats. This actually looks like a lot of fun, something I could get behind, but, you know, Chalice for One kind of just hoses it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're coming up with every busted idea we can think of to fight this deck, and most of them just still seem to fall kind of short. At least just running through, like, mentally what we would expect to happen. And it's a huge red flag, man. This deck, unfortunately, just has to go. And I only say unfortunately just because we've seen so many bannings lately.
But how long do you ban it now when you're still printing the product? Do you?
That's the real question.
You wait till the Eldritch
It's going to be April. It's going to be the April ban because of GP Detroit. And here's why. Like, a lot of people, because I'm in the Midwest now, and GP Detroit is very accessible for us, and I love Modern. I'd planned on going, but, like, I just don't want to deal with this Eldrazi menace right now. And a lot of people I've talked to are the same way. They're skipping GP Detroit because they don't want to invest in the Eldrazi deck. They don't want to play Eldrazi mirrors, or they don't want to try to figure out something that maybe beats Eldrazi. Go there and finds out it doesn't. So GP Detroit is coming up before the April ban. It's going to get dominated by Eldrazi, Cobblade style. And then on top of it, the attendance is going to be the lowest in a long time, and that's going to be the time that Wizards is going to act.
So with Alex's prediction there, I do want to revisit some of Alex's previous Modern predictions. Because first we have that Pro Tour, the Pro Tour will be won by colorless deck. check, right? We're good to go.
Yep.
Not only was it one by colorless
deck. One by check, like top eight was completely colorless. Yes.
So as soon as top eight was settled, we already knew he was right on that point. And then to follow that one, he had no blue deck in top eight, which brings such, oh man.
No,
brings
a tear blue to my control. Eye. We had blue Eldrazi creatures.
Right, but it's
like, but they're devoid. They're not blue.
They're devoid.
Like, that doesn't count.
No control.
Like, I think the only
feeling.
Blue card that was played in top eight was Thoughtcast.
Well, not only was
Sky
it
Spawner.
Well, not only was it no blue control deck, it was just no real blue deck.
Right? Yeah, that's fair. It was just
they're all
not even like blue. No blue deck, like no blue cards. Like I did a quick look. They posted up like the 24 point or better modern decks. You know, the top 20 modern decks. I counted up the number of true blue cards, not you know devoid true blue cards. In the top 20 decks, there was 36 blue cards. And 14 of that came from one Grixis Grishelbrand deck. Like, is it Charms and stuff? And like, that's how bad this was.
Was there even a copy of Lightning Bolt in the top eight? Or was there more Galvanic Blasts?
Yeah,
even if that,
no, they were on
even
thought,
that deck,
they
even
were on Thoughtcast. That's where some of the blue cards came from.
Okay, so yeah. they didn't even go the blue-red affinity version. They just went Thoughtcast, let's go. Got it.
Yep. So then, Alex's last prediction was that Eldrazi Temple or Eye of Ugin would ban this year as Eldrazi dominates every tournament until then, which is pretty much what he was just talking about. So it's looking pretty likely. I mean, if I was a gambling man, I'd definitely put my money on Alex's prediction. It's hard to bet against that. So, I mean, obviously time will tell, but we'll see what happens. I think that an April banning seems pretty likely. I mean, the one good side to this is that the deck has felt bannable pretty much since its inception, right?
Yep.
So we already know that anyone getting into this deck, you're taking a bit of a financial risk. It's sad that that's the state of affairs in Magic right now, that by investing in the best deck, you also may be, you know, lining up to lose your money, but it is what it is. That's how it is right now. So, I mean, anyone who's thinking about picking up this deck, just understand, like, these cards could be back to pretty much pre-deck prices pretty quickly. And they've all shot up a decent amount already, and I think we'll see that continue for a little while. But we are getting... Actually, we are pretty far into time right now. Do you guys have any last thoughts on this before we close this thing out?
On ban and restricted list, I feel that there needs to be a change on who controls it. I don't think R&D should have the power to solely do it. A fix to this, it could be some type of voting system like they do for the Hall of Fame. I think if a card is prominent enough and enough of the relevant players too, like, you know, Pro Tour players, some Hall of Fame players, you know, pros should have a choice.
Well, they could
in
just
what
do like the top 25 standings of the Pro Tour.
That works too. Players should have a say in what should be allowed and what shouldn't be allowed. You know, not just some guys who are designing these cards because Wizards trying to make some money too. Like, I think the ban restricted list needs to be out of their hands because there is clearly in card design error that they don't test these cards for older formats, and which modern is like their biggest selling point right now. So something's got to be done there.
Now, so if you make this change, though, I'm just curious what you think on this. If you make this change, do you give these players access to these cards prior to release? Do you let them ban things prematurely before they enter the format? I mean,
no, you don't. You still have to.
You can't give them to them access early because then they get to play with it before other people.
You don't
have a more experience.
You don't do that. You at least let the format play out till it's next ban restricted. Like if we were doing that right now, the Eldrazi got printed, they would be played for the next 3 months, and we would have that. Oh crap! Look, our eyes would pop out of our head. We need to fix this now. They all get together, do their ban-restricted thing. Be it as it may, it's done. Over with.
I can dig it.
Like, submit it to Wizards of the Coast. This is killing the meta.
Yep.
These are our time suggestions as professional players, and go.
Well, not just suggestions. Like, they have control of it. R&D should not have control of it, because they... Clearly, within the past few bannings, they have some inkling of what they're doing, but in the end, they just don't know what they're doing.
And it sort of is two separate entities. Like, I mean, the jobs that each would do, it makes sense to separate those. I mean, the unfortunate side is Wizards does have a financial horse in the race, and obviously this is good for sales right now. I can imagine Oath, probably a significant amount of packs were cracked because of this.
Cracking.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's... And that's where my biggest concern comes from with this ban list coming up in April is, like, unfortunately, I think Alex is right in that this deck has to dominate this GP for them to do something, because otherwise they're moving probably a pretty good amount of product off of this. So it'll be interesting to watch it from that perspective as well. Chris, Alex, any last thoughts before we...
I'm pretty much good. Got everything covered.
So gloom and doom, that's what we're predicting. We're going to wrap up here. That'll do it for us today. I mean, I think we've pretty much beaten this point and hit on all the aspects of it. So really, I mean, if you want to play this deck, if you have the cards, go for it. Have a good time while it lasts. But I think we all feel pretty confident that this thing's going to be gone out of here pretty soon. But, all right, that'll do it for us this week. As always, please check out the page. Leave back any feedback. We always love getting feedback. It helps steer us and figure out what we're doing with this thing each week. The Facebook page is up and running still. We've been getting more and more feedback on that, which is awesome. I would love to see some people, like I said earlier, if you had any experiences at regionals, what you saw there, what you didn't see, what you expected, what did or didn't happen. We'd love to hear about all of that. I mean, one, just for all of our listeners to be able to come together one place and share ideas. And two, just us as players, we're curious as to what's going on out there. But that's it for announcements this week. We will talk to you next week. Bye.
Oh, snap.